This is the Happy Rant Sports Podcast, in which Ted Cluck and Barnabas Piper rant about old sports, new sports books, sports movies, and anything else related to sports that they feel like. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Sports Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partner in sports radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, it has been a long, weird spring and summer. I texted you the other day about kind of the dilemma I'm in vis-a-vis canceling MLB TV and using that as a barometer for my level of hopefulness in general with the world. But yes. I have my fingers on the trigger, as it were, but I have not yet canceled. I'm still waiting, still probably falsely hopeful. But what have you done with your subscription? Have you canceled?
I did cancel, okay. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it wasn't utter hopelessness that made me cancel, although I am mostly hopeless. It was the fact that why pay full price if they're going to come back with a 60-game season? Yeah. I'm going to assume they're going to have a prorated price at that point. Right. And they're going to be like just scrounging for people to watch baseball, especially because nobody can go to the games. So they're going to roll. If they do that, they'll roll it out with some sort of prorated pricing. Yeah. And so I was like, you know, I'll just sign back up. Yeah. But I'd want my $140 back or whatever it was.
Yeah, dude, no doubt. Were they cool about giving you the refund?
Yeah, although they make it hard. There isn't a, like, cancel my subscription option. Yeah. You have to contact them and ask them. So they make it a little bit hard. And so I just pulled it up and said, since there's no baseball, I want my money back. And there was no, like, pushback. They were just like, all right, a refund will be processed and whatever, 7 to 10 business.
Dude, it's got to be rats off a ship right now for them. That's sad. But speaking of baseball, Piper, we have happier baseball news to talk about in the sense that we are going to be watching an old home run derby today. But before we do, I want to talk about a sponsor. And the sponsor is near and dear to my heart. I don't know about my heart, maybe just my pocketbook. The quickest
way to a man's heart is his pocketbook.
That's generally true.
Old wisdom says stomach, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it's
that's generally true. So our sponsor is Harvest House Publishers. Publishers of my recent graphic novel called The Outstanding Life of an Awkward Theater Kid. It's funny. It's my second in hopefully a trilogy. Hopefully the third one will be a book about a boy and his dog where the dog lives, and it'll be called The Dog Lives. But this release of Theater Kid, I know, man, it's
spoiler.
It's the book I've always wanted to write, dude. It'll be my contribution to like the world of American letters in that it won't be the only dog living book ever written. This one, the Theater Kid book, dude, the release kind of got scuttled by this thing that you may have heard about called COVID-19. If you haven't heard about it,
no, what's yeah, that? Be, what, yeah, I'm unfamiliar.
Be really safe, okay? Stay home and stay safe. Here's what I'm recommending. Stay home for the next 10 years, okay, with a mask on. And if you disagree with me, then you're a monster or Satan. That's what I've learned from social media about it. But anyway, my book release got scuttled by that. Finally, influencers got their copies, launch team people got their copies, so hopefully we'll see a little spike in sales, but it's called The Outstanding Life of an Awkward Theater Kid. It's for middle school age readers, and it's got pictures, it's got a story, it's got a little gospel. It's very funny. Piper, your daughter got the book.
Yes, so I got my influencer copy and handed it off to the appropriate reader in the household, my rising middle schooler. And she took one look at it and was like, she laughed at the title, you know, Awkward Theater Kid made her chuckle. Good. And then she just dove into it. So she read it on the 30-minute drive to started reading it on the 30-minute drive to church yesterday.
Solid, dude.
And she makes it about a chapter or two in and she goes, is this book about you?
No way. She thought it was about you.
She thought the dad in the book was me.
Oh, fascinating, dude. Why? Let's dive into that for a minute.
She goes, so this dad makes fun of middle school boys' names. He doesn't believe his kids when they claim they're sick. And he reads the Bible a lot. That sounds just like...
Dude, that's solid dad stuff right there, honestly. And shout out to Father's Day, which was yesterday. Dude, it's so funny she mentions that because the dad in the book is basically... It's kind of like half based on my dad and half based on me. All the good stuff.
That's what I told her. I said, well, that must mean I'm very similar to Ted and probably the original.
Exactly, dude. So all the good attributes come from my dad, and all the miserable stuff.
And yeah, and she commented on the love of football as well. She was like, makes fun of middle school boys' names, doesn't believe kids when they claim they're sick, reads the Bible all the time, and loves football. It sounds like you.
Dude, solid.
And I was like, that sounds a great compliment. And then she audibly laughed out loud at four or five different points, means you have hit the nail on the head with the target audience.
Well, I love it, dude. Tell your daughter I said thank you for reading, and tell her I said thank you for creating multiple Amazon accounts and giving it 5-star reviews, as I'm sure she'll do. You know, so yeah, I will
take her review to Amazon on her behalf.
I love it, dude. Thank you. So yes. Cat's out of the bag. We do have a partnership with Amazon for this book. So once again, Jeff Bezos, business partner, longtime business partner. Hopefully this will benefit both of us. And, you know, I don't know how he's doing financially with all this, but I know that I could use the benefit. Piper, one more real life sports breaking news item before we get into Home Run Derby. As you know, if you've been listening to the show for the past 5 or 6 months, I've been doing padded spring football in the backyard with my son Tristan, who's now a super jacked 210-pound college prospect. And
he's 210 pounds?
Yeah, dude, he's yoked.
I mean, I haven't seen him in a couple of years. So, yeah. Well, I mean, a lot can happen, but that's I'm 6'2 and just over 200, and I don't think I'm very small. He's a truck.
Well, and he carries it well too. That's the thing. It's not a bad 210. You know, and he's got the legs of a 240-pound Levon Kirkland, you know. And once his upper body catches up, he'll be yoked. But all of this to say, we've been doing increasingly intense spring football in the backyard, and I've been having to go harder and harder to keep up with him. And about a week ago, we were doing one-on-one pass pro where he was, and we run it just like a college practice. So we're doing these, we got cones up and the whole deal. And I was playing guard, and he was pass rushing, blitz pickup, as an inside backer. And he decides to just bull rush me with, a 7-yard head start. And and he hits me. Good luck. he just runs through my face, right? He hits me forehead to forehead, runs through my face. And I've been feeling kind of concussion-y ever since. And it's not a great feeling, Piper. I'm not going to lie. It's a little disconcerting, but... College football coaches?
Are you, but aren't you proud of him?
I'm super proud of him, dude. I'm super, super proud of him. And it's the silver lining in feeling headachy and nauseous every morning for the last week. The silver lining is my kid's ready, you know? He's ready to play college football. So if you are a college football coach and you're listening to this podcast, which I know you are, actually, we had somebody tipped me off to this. The head coach of Southern Illinois college football followed us on Twitter. So we do have college football coaches in the fold. You need to come to Humboldt High School in Humboldt, Tennessee and check out my son this season. He gave me a concussion, which means that he's ready.
So a little deep dive into high school sports. Yeah. So your kids go to a small classical school, right?
Yeah, they did. So Maxim still goes there. Tristan...
Okay.
Because of the intense academic nature of this small weirdo classical school, he was basically done with high school as a junior. He has one or two more classes he has to take. So he's going to dual enroll those at Union, where I'm a professor. And then he'll, by all accounts, by all practical purposes, be homeschooled. So that means he can play football this season for Humboldt High School. So that's
okay.
Kind of the deal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Because, you know, I my last 2 years of high school were at a public school, and we had one or two homeschoolers on our football team, because you know you're allowed to play sports at your districted school.
Yeah,
and I wasn't sure if that worked from private school to public school if the sport wasn't available.
Yeah, we tried to make it work the last 2 years, man, and I went 12 rounds toe to toe with the TSSAA, which was really fun, especially for my personality type. You know,
it's your favorite.
I love bureaucrats and nonsense, but. Nevertheless, we're able to make it work this year. We're excited. He's in great shape. He's giving me concussions, and I think it's going to be a great season. So speaking of things that are great, Piper, let's dial up this home run derby. So walk me through the logic of how you picked this one. I can already tell I'm going to love it. So no disrespect at all. But
yeah. So yeah, the parameters in my mind were 1990s. Uh-huh. We both have a 90s was when I sort of came into my own as a sports fan and a baseball fan. Yeah. We both have a great affinity for that. I wanted it to be pre-steroids era, or at least pre-acknowledged steroids era. I wanted it to be a condensed one because we don't have 3 hours to break down home run derbies. Although I think they used to be more efficient than they are now with sort of the gong show of whatever they try to do at All-Star games these days. And then I wanted it to be a cool cast of characters. And early 90s baseball, you know, if you look at – we've talked about this. If you look at baseball now, everybody looks like a CrossFitter.
Totally, yeah.
You know, like the – there are a handful of fat players, but they're anomalous now. Yeah. Whereas in the 90s, there was like skinny dudes and fat dudes. And then, spoiler alert, Ken Griffey Jr.'s in this. When you get him, you're like, oh, he looks like a premium athlete.
Dude, yeah, he could be an NFL like number one receiver.
I think he was a really, really good receiver in high school. Yeah. Like he... I think he played high school football and was really good. And you kind of see it in the way he played center field too. But... So yeah, it was basically just that. I was like, I want a condensed one with awesome characters from pre-steroids era 90s. And so we landed on 1993 at Camden Yards. And I think Camden Yards, it was their first All-Star game that they hosted. Yeah. So, you know, kind of the first of this new era of stadiums that are pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, great viewing experiences, but have sort of a classic throwback feel.
Yeah, we'll get into stadiums. I've been to two or three. Sure.
Yeah, I've been to Camden two or three times in the last few years, and it's a great place to watch a game. You know, it's 20 whatever years old now, and it holds up really well.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Does it feel dated at all in that it was like the first wave of these quote unquote new stadiums, or is it holding up?
I mean, it doesn't have all of the kind of shiny amenities that some of the newer ones do. But the thing about baseball is. Baseball is great without that stuff. So what Camden Yards does great is it simplifies the viewing experience down to like you and the smell of cooking meat and a good viewing experience. So all of the seats are, you know, they can fit a full-sized adult human and they all face the field appropriately, unlike some stadiums. You know, some of the old stadiums are like be sideways and stuff.
Yeah.
There's not really a bad seat in there. It's not because it's not huge. Yep. And then they just did the really cool thing where they built it right up against this. I think it was a freight warehouse back in the day.
Nice.
So the right field fence, and then there's some seats, and then there's a little sort of a walkway. I think it's called Utah Street out there. And then this big brown brick warehouse, which is heavily featured. And it's just a really cool background, kind of like the Green Monster or the Scott, you know, outside of – Wrigley, you have just sort of the neighborhoods and you have these very scenic things. This is theirs. And they did a really creative job with it. So it holds up. It feels very classic.
Nice.
And just a fun place to watch a game.
I love it, dude. Yeah, watching a game, man. That's something I look forward to doing in 10 years. I'll be 54. Once we've eradicated all illness and disease from the face of the earth.
So before we dive into this, is baseball going to survive?
I don't know, dude. That's a big concern.
Rob Manfred et al., mostly the owners, as far as I can tell, are just, I don't even know if they're shooting themselves in the foot at this point. It's like they're shooting them. They're kneecapping themselves. Yeah. They've got a gun to their own head at this point.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. So real doing. Question, do they have, and I don't know where they would get this, but stay with me. Do they have an inflated sense of how well their sport is doing? You know what I'm saying? Because everybody else seems concerned about what you just asked, and I am too, but like the people who have the biggest stake in it don't seem to be that concerned about it. So maybe they know something we don't.
I think there's a combination of extremity on both ends. You know, the people who say baseball is going to fail. I was being facetious with that question. Sure. I do not think baseball is going to fail. I do think it will struggle, just like it did after, it was strike in 94. Yep. It took a while for the game to bounce back, and then it took two steroidal monsters to make everybody excited about the game again.
It took Anadrol 50 to bring the game back. So
yeah. And you know, we'll probably need some steroidal monsters again in, you know, a few years to refresh the game. So I don't think it's going to go away, but I think the extremity on the other end is that the owners don't realize that they're not too big to fail.
Right.
There's no, like you don't have a critical mass that just creates like gravity for success.
Yeah.
People will just walk away. They'll change their habits. They're not going to put their money in, especially if they hate you.
Totally.
And nobody likes watching billionaires haggle over dollars, and it makes us hate them.
Yeah.
So,
and that dynamic has been the one thing that has hurt the sport in the past. So it follows that it would hurt it again now, if they're not able to work anything out and get a product on the field at some point. Yeah, Pipe. Let's talk about happier times in baseball.
Yes,
I'm queuing this
the season just before the strike.
Yeah, that's right, dude. I'm queuing up this home run derby. I'm 5 seconds in, so get close to there and then tell me when to hit play and I'll play it.
All right, one sec. Make sure mine's going to work here. All right, I'm at 5 seconds in too, so we can go. Let's go 3, 2, play. First thing I notice is this amazing clip art
Dude,
graphic.
Look at that graphic. You know what I like about that? The Gatorade logo. I think I was on the Gatorade thing last time.
Oh, look at the first guy they show. It's Cecil
Fielder.
Fielder.
What a body, dude. What a build.
And then Barry Bonds pre-size 14 head.
This was like mid-size Barry Bonds. This was when he was like a Toyota Camry, you know?
Oh, man. It's Albert Bell. Yep. I think that's Juan. What was this? Was it Juan Guzman?
I don't know.
The guy for the Rangers who just...
Dude.
All right, and then we got Joe Morgan. And is that Tim McCarver?
It's Mike Patrick, dude. And I love a little bit on Mike Patrick. He has my favorite voice. He was always the voice of like ESPN Sunday Night Football when I was growing up as a kid. It was always Mike Patrick and Joe Theismann. And I just think he has a fabulous voice.
And Joe Morgan, who has been just... There was a whole website dedicated to... It was called FireJoeMorgan.com. Uh-huh. And you know who started it? Is it Michael Schur, the same guy who created? I think he was involved in The Office.
Okay,
and then he was involved. No, it was Parks and Rec, and then The Good Place.
Oh, fantastic!
So the writer showrunner of those. He's the one who created the website Fire Joe Morgan.
Amazing, dude.
Oh, the graphic of the dimensions is great. It looked like an old architect.
We need to bring back 90s graphics. These are amazing.
See, look at this shot of the right field with that warehouse.
Oh,
it's so
beautiful,
cool.
Dude. It's beautiful. Yeah, what a great idea.
And then some Buck Martinez. Uh-huh. There we go. There's a reporter I haven't seen in a while.
Nice, dude. Sporting some great like late 80s feathered hair. A lot of time with a blow dryer for Buck.
Did you see the little plaque in the ground?
Yeah.
I think they said that was the longest home run hit, or maybe it was the first one. It was
Mickey Tettleton.
That's
dude.
It.
Love it.
That's an early 90s baseball fan.
Yeah.
It's just
Pipe, did you ever go through a phase personally where you used a blow dryer?
Nah, I never had.
Never a blow dryer.
I did have enough hair, but my hair is so like fine that it would have just turned into like feathers on my head.
Dude, my college roommate Kirk Logan, shout out Kirkules. He was a big blow dryer guy. He had that feathered kind of late 80s hair. Even though it was 1996. David Justice, dude. Like prime David Justice.
Yeah, I forgot both how handsome he was, as well as just how pretty his swing was.
Yeah, extremely handsome guy. He's one of those athletes, you drop him in any era, he looks like he belongs. Also Ken Griffey, you know, like...
Except, like, pre-1947, for obvious
reasons. Yes, that's right.
Too soon?
No.
You know what's funny about this? Uh-huh. It's like, you can tell that these guys are not... They're not like geared up to be home run.
Totally.
It's like David Justice had a sweet swing, but he was not a swing for the fences guy.
And you can tell they kind of don't care about it. Like he's got the he's got the glasses on the bill of the cap. He's not trying to yank all these necessarily. Now he got a hold of that one.
I also like how much taller the hats were back
then.
Or maybe it's that people didn't wear them with flat brims way down low on their head.
Right.
But his hat's a good like 3 inches off the top of his head. It's almost like a stovepipe.
It really is, dude. It looks awesome. Oh, I like how kind of crappily produced this is, too, in that they didn't give any thought to, like, who was behind the shot of the catcher, you know? There's just a bunch of rando, like, press photographers in shorts and t-shirts back there.
And one dude with a solid early 90s mullet.
Exactly.
Yeah, the graphics they're using look a lot like, I don't know, like they took them off a Fritos bag or something.
Exactly. Hey, can we recapture that Fritos bag aesthetic? I really like that.
I'm a little puzzled by one thing, which is he's hitting a baseball.
Uh-huh.
And his batting gloves are in his
back dude, pocket. It's like did he forget? It'd be hard to forget though, because they're right there in the back pocket.
Also, they're batting gloves. That's what they're for.
I think there was a kind of curated nonchalance that sort of ruled the day back in that era that's not around anymore. Like in 2020, it's like you gotta have every accessory known to man. You look like RoboCop at the plate in 2020.
Oh, that was what was disorienting when they showed Barry Bonds walking up earlier, was just that he was, it was like him in a hat, mm-hmm. and not like him in body armor, and his accessory was the large dangling gold earring.
Exactly.
A single earring.
Which was very Barry Bonds, dude.
Yes. David Justice is not very good at this.
He's not.
He's a good baseball player, not a good home run derby contestant.
Was he good at me being married to Halle Berry? Are they still together?
I know they're not still together, so I don't know if he was good at it or not. I mean, I suspect it had its perks.
Yeah, for sure.
They looked good together.
Yeah, they did.
Ah, Baltimore.
Dude, Gatorade and Baltimore.
City of dreams.
That's right.
And Bush beer.
Oh, now there you go. There's a great early 90s thing, Bush beer.
Does that still exist?
Yeah, it does. I mean,
I'm sure it does.
This was back when there were like six beers, and if you wanted to get really like creative, you were getting Sam Adams. You know,
I like how it was sponsored by Bush Beer, and then they just showed the Budweiser blimp
exactly.
Albert Bell, formerly known as Joe. Oh no, we got Mike Piazza.
Oh, Piazza, great
skip
mullet.
Bell.
I guess they did, man. This is how they cut this together.
They just skipped.
Only one swing for Piazza.
I think they're just skipping the guys who didn't hit any homers.
Gotcha. Griffey with a backwards cap.
Okay, we got Griffey with the backwards cap.
Just
and
hitting
just
bombs.
Put one into orbit.
Yeah.
That one, not quite off the building.
Dude, Griffey made everything look nonchalant.
Yeah, even hitting baseballs like 512.
Dude, exactly.
Yeah, what is it about his swing that is just the most beautiful ever?
Dude, I don't know. I'm trying to put words to it. And I'm trying to come up with like an analogous thing that I do with such nonchalance, but I don't really think there is anything. Maybe like making coffee in the morning. I feel like I've got that down.
Yeah.
You know?
Like being a total smart aleck just sort of rolls off the
exactly.
tongue. I don't know.
Dude, he looks great in the uniform. He looks great with a backwards cap. He is the like athlete.
He was like 22 and had the mustache that makes him look 38.
Exactly. Yeah, which back in the early 90s, being young but looking old was like people placed a high value on that. You know what I mean? You tried to look older. He's the only person in the history of humankind that's ever looked good in a mock turtleneck. Am I right?
Steve Jobs begs to differ, but
exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if he looked good as much as he did.
It was just iconic. Yeah. Dude, he's just crushing these, and he's putting them all in the same spot.
Yeah, he's the one guy who's like, oh, I was built for this. All the other guys were like, I usually just try to line base hits, and now I'm trying to hit him over the fence. He's even taking pitches.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not,
good eye, Ken.
Like, no, I'm lining this thing up.
You know who I want to know the story of in this whole thing? The pitcher. How do you get that job? You know, just serving up meatballs for the home run derby.
Little Bobby Bonilla sighting there, too.
Solid, dude.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I think this was just like someone's pitching coach or whatever who's out there doing this. Whereas now it's like so-and-so's great uncle.
Right.
And that kind of thing.
Dude.
They're always trying to make a story out of it.
How would you like to be Bobby Bonilla? Famous for basically being overpaid and underperforming. That's his legacy. I wouldn't mind it, honestly. I could live with that.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good player for a few years, but then he got like, it was like a $25 million contract spread over 25 years.
Yeah.
And so I think it's early July. It's gone down as Bobby Bonilla Day.
I love it, dude.
It's because he gets $1 million payment, and it's through – it's some like through the next 4 or 5 years still. He got the contract in maybe 2000.
It's coming up, dude. It'll be the only real-time sports thing we can celebrate here in a few weeks.
Bobby, yeah. We should do a Bobby Bonilla release.
We should. Dude, Bonilla.
You hear typing. It's me.
Bonilla had a –
it's me looking up Bobby Bonilla Day.
He had a good build, dude. I don't think he was a Roy guy either.
Are you seeing ads right now?
No, I'm seeing some guys in the dugout. I'll pause it.
Okay. Nope, we're good.
Okay.
We're caught up. Oh, who is this? Oh, Greg Jeffries. Yeah. Wait, he's in this? Okay, I was wrong. Bobby Bonilla Day is July 1, so okay. I was right about that. He gets paid $1.19 million until 2035.
Dude, what a great day for Bobby Bonilla.
Man, that's amazing.
Dude, what do you think of that old Mets uniform? I love it. I think it's one of the prettiest in baseball.
Yeah. You know what baseball needs more of? This, I like this version of the Mets uniform, yeah. But just pinstripes in general.
I agree.
I know the Yankees kind of hold down pinstripes, yeah. But like the Twins used to have a pinstripe uniform.
Oh, dude, yeah, it was sharp. It was really sharp.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they cut this particular condensed version up, but they're just showing like two swings from some guys.
Dude, I got to tell you, and the Rangers have one of the most boring uniforms in baseball right now. I like this iteration.
Yeah.
With kind of the racing stripe down the shoulder, the script Rangers on the front. Dude, look at the mullet on that guy.
Juan Gonzalez, look at the guns on that guy. Like, he was a straight-up just masher. Like, He was basically like, I'm here to take names and hit taters, and that's all he did. And for several years, he was just a monster, too.
Yeah, dude, built like a comic book hero.
Oof. Ooh.
Off the Sheraton Inner Harbor sign.
Yeah. Over the lower bowl of seats.
Right. Dude, yeah, he's yoked.
Which is why I said pre-acknowledged steroid era.
body by Anadrol 50 right here, I think.
I like that old Rangers hat with just the big block.
Dude, I love it. I've got one of those, actually. My grandpa got it for me. He had a friend who was a pro baseball scout who would send him swag from time to time, and it would make its way to me. Dude, look at Piazza in the dugout.
Yeah. Do you see the way Cecil Fielder wore his hat?
I missed it.
Where the front is like 6 inches high, but then it's like collapsed in the back. It's such a, like, that's the way my grandpa used to wear his
Amazing,
hat.
Amazing, dude. Dude, nice play on that one by the outfielder there.
Yep. Oh, that looked a lot like Juan Gonzalez in the outfield.
Yeah, exactly.
I like how they all grimace because they're like, ugh, didn't quite get a hold of that one. It was only 440 feet.
Exactly. Piper, how do you feel about dudes with earrings? Can we have this conversation?
Currently or in 1993?
93.
In 93, it was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, that was the era of it was a thing.
Dude, if you had come home from, like, I don't know, baseball camp in high school with an earring and a mullet, what would John Piper have done? What would his response to that have been?
I don't think he would have batted an eye to mullet.
Yeah.
One of my brothers pierced his ear, and it was a point of contention between my parents and him, not like antagonistic.
Sure.
Just they weren't big fans. And he did the single ear piercing, which was a very early 90s thing
to
do. You know, there was a time when it was like, if it's in your right ear, you are gay.
Yeah.
If it's in your left ear, you're straight or whatever.
Yeah.
At least that was sort of the urban legend of ear piercing.
Dude, it totally was. I remember that urban legend.
In fact, I think Gonzalez only has the left ear pierced, judging by what is catching the light. Did you know he hit 434 home runs in his career?
Man, that's impressive, dude. I don't think of him as...
He had a 295 career batting average. He was really good.
He was. Dude, with that mullet and that earring in the left ear, too, if he was straight, it was raining women on him in 1993. Just a deluge.
Yeah, for 6-time Silver Slugger, 2-time MVP. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He led the league in homers in 92 and 93. So this season, he hit 46 homers and led the league.
Yeah.
But then his career high was few years later, it was 47. So he hit over 40 one, two, three, four, five times.
Amazing.
That's in a career OPS of over 900 for our baseball nerd friends. he was really good. I've forgotten how good he was.
Dude, here's an observation I got to make. This happened like three frames ago. There's a cameraman in the shot, like right behind the plate, wearing biker shorts. So like spandex shorts.
Really?
And Reebok pumps. Like from the waist down, that's the early 90s-est thing you could have ever worn. Remember Reebok pumps, dude?
Yeah.
And remember when people would...
Yeah, is it D. Brown who made them famous
by pumping them up before winning a dunk contest?
I might be a couple frames behind you. I just had to skip another 3-second ad.
Oh, no worries.
If I'm commenting on things that you already saw.
What are you looking at now? I'm looking at the Gatorade Home Run Derby logo.
I'm looking at an up-close face of who I believe is... Is that Bobby Bonilla? I can't tell. Very close on the side of a man's face.
Yeah, you might be a couple frames behind me. I'll pause for a second and let you catch up.
All right, I'm seeing the Home Run Derby logo right now.
All right.
Gonzalez and Griffey tied in the lead with 7. All right.
Now I'm looking at Barry Bonds.
Mike Piazza didn't hit any. Oh, Barry Bonds. Choking up on the bat. He started
yes,
that early.
That's right, dude. Yeah, this is like mid-steroid cycle for Barry Bonds. He wasn't like tiny and live like he used to be, but he wasn't yet like, you know, Cro-Magnon.
I think he won the NL MVP this year and just destroyed the league.
He was an amazing player, dude.
He was amazing before...
He really was.
Yeah, he led the NL in homers with 46 this year. 126 walks, 123 RBI. And this was pre, like, everybody takes a ton of walks.
Yeah.
His on-base percentage was .458 and his slugging was .677 in 1993.
Amazing, dude.
So that was, and so let's see, that was what, 8 or 9 seasons before he broke the home run record.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was...
Patently unlikable guy, too. Like, just hard to like.
Oh, yeah.
But great.
But it's so good when sports has guys
totally,
who are really
totally.
Good that you can't stand.
Exactly. Like,
we need those
We
guys.
Really do. Cecil Fielder. Here's my guy right here, man. Oh.
Oh, I loved Cecil.
Coming soon to a softball diamond near you, that body.
Yes.
Dude, we have this...
Just put your lower body into it, Cecil.
We had this guy in my hometown who was built like this. My dad and I, when I was a little kid, we used to ride our bikes down to the like local softball field to watch this guy hit.
Yeah.
His name was Bobby Banter, and he was built like Cecil Fielder. He was like 350, huge chaw tobacco in, was like a former Blackford High School like football star for real, but he had like settled into a life of local home run hitting on the softball diamonds.
They used to do this thing sometimes as like a pregame kind of show at the Metrodome when the Twins played there, where they would bring in, they were like a traveling professional group of softball home run hitters.
Oh my goodness, dude.
And so they would, you know, they're out there with like their juiced up aluminum
titanium
bats. Oh, there's Prince Fielder as like an 8-year-old or whatever. Also a great baseball player. Yeah, and they're launching them into like the back rows of the upper deck. And these guys are, you know, they're 6'1 and 240 pounds, and it's all from the waist to the lats.
Exactly.
Just monster thick dudes.
Dude, look at that Tigers jersey, too. I feel like there's almost like a collar on it. It almost looks like a polo.
Yeah.
Like, you could go to a business meeting in that.
Man, I think Cecil Fielder had one career stolen base, and it was against the Twins.
Dude, no disrespect to Baltimore. Not a great skyline. Not gonna lie, they're doing these like sweeping skyline shots. It looks like Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah, if they were smart, they would do the up close shots down at the Inner Harbor,
exactly.
Where it's like a restored ship,
yeah, where there's
and,
like cool
you know,
stuff
somebody
to look at.
Unloading a crate of crabs or something.
Right. Speaking of crabs,
oh, Cecil Fielder had 2 career stolen bases. His first one was against the Twins.
Dude, Griffey in a very pretty Mariners jersey, timeless.
Okay, so we're on to the final rounds.
Yeah.
Man, he is putting him out on Utah Street.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
It's nothing.
Wearing Franklin batting gloves. Does Franklin still make baseball gear?
That's what I grew up wearing.
Yeah.
And all the rich kids wore Easton, and I wore Franklin because you could buy them at like Target.
Exactly. Same.
Oh, Griffey.
Dude, just crushing. Dude, did John Piper pitch to you in the backyard much? And if so, what was his like pitching style?
We had kind of a small backyard because we grew up in the city, huh? So we had to change the rules. We would walk, if we wanted to like hit, we walk 3 or 4 blocks to a local park. Yeah. And he would, oh, I think Griffey just hit the warehouse. Yep. I believe he is the only guy ever to hit the warehouse to this day. So, yeah, so in the backyard, we would do wiffle ball. And we, because we lived right next to a freeway and close to our neighbors, we had to make rules that if you hit it over the fence, it was an out. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, it was just... You're bouncing it off the neighbor's garage constantly and stuff. But yeah, no, my dad, we would go down to the local park and play.
Nice.
And yeah, he would pitch to me pretty regularly. It was fun.
Nice. More of a speed guy or a location guy?
More location. Mm-hmm. You know, he was trying to let me get my hacks in. He wasn't trying to get me out.
Like the Greg Maddox, of Reformed preachers.
Ooh. Yeah, he was much more interested in helping me with my hitting technique than he was, trying
blowing
to
him by
a
you.
Fastball
yeah, yeah.
past me. He had an infielder's throwing style too, like where you just cock the ball from your ear. Yeah. You don't like wind up with a big. So he didn't have the big monster arm. More accuracy than power. Yep.
I feel like Mark Driscoll would try to blow up by his kids every time.
Yeah, and then if they ever said anything, he'd like ear hole them.
Exactly.
So, little chin music.
Right,
for the kid.
Right.
Talk back to your dad.
Oof, that one sounded good.
Yeah. Juan Gonzalez, man. Dude. I'm just keep marveling at his biceps and his hair.
Can we see what he looks like now? I bet we can. I bet we have that technology.
I wonder if the internet can oblige.
I'm looking it up.
Juan Gonzalez, all right. Boy, he put that one to the batter's eye. That was a shot.
Okay, I thought this was the guy. I think he's still low-key, like, playing. I think he should...
Julio Franco is low-key playing now at, like, 60.
Yeah. So Juan Gonzalez
you think Juan
is 50.
Too?
And there's a picture of him in, like, a uniform here.
Yeah, for the... it looks like maybe a... Like a small professional team in...
Yeah, Puerto Rico or somewhere.
Well, in Puerto Rico?
Dude, I love this. Gonzalez has been married 4 times. He was married to a Puerto Rican volleyball player named Elaine Lopez, sister of Javi Lopez. I feel like that's the 90s this thing.
Yeah.
Marrying the hot Lopez, sister of one
very,
of your
very good, mediocre catcher, good
right, right.
Braves. Also a handsome fella.
Yeah, dude, Lopez's or Gonzalez's personal life section reads like a National Enquirer.
Now they're showing minor league updates.
Yes. This Scranton is, will.
But they're scrolling through them so fast you can't even tell what the team.
Right.
Oh, Scranton Wilkes-Barre was getting hammered by somebody.
Exactly.
And then I
saw
something about
Calvert
Cheney.
Dude, a 900 number for ESPN if you want to get scores. 95 cents per minute.
They had ESPN had a 1-900
yep,
number?
They just flashed an ad for it. Dude, I love that. That's the 90s.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I feel like Gonzalez has been up for like 25 minutes.
I think they just skipped around and came back to him.
I feel like Gonzalez's family cut this highlight package together.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed we didn't get any Albert Bell because he was just he was so good for a few years. I think he's the only guy ever to hit 50 homers and or maybe it was 50 homers and 50 doubles in a season.
And a legendary 90s baseball jerk.
Oh yeah, just an angry, unhappy man. Oof. Let's see. Home runs 50. So 1995.
Wow.
52 doubles and 50 homers.
Nice. Dude, were you a hat backwards guy?
No, I was not. I never was.
Yeah, I was and still am to this day. Like, for a guy with long hair, it's the only way that a ball cap, like, really looks good.
Unless you, like, yeah, because otherwise you have to, like, pull the ponytail through the little thing in the back, exactly. And then you look like a roadie.
Exactly.
No, I never was, and I'm not now because I have kind of a baby face, so if I wear a hat backwards, I just look like somebody who's already looks right. younger than I am a little bit, and then I look like I'm trying to be younger than
that. You look like a toddler in a suit.
Yeah, it's just, it's a very strange, a very strange combination. Plus, it was always a very bro-y thing when I was growing up.
Yeah,
it
still is.
And it, so it was, and I just wasn't big on the bro-y thing.
Yeah.
Got Griffey again. This is just the Griffey and Juan Gonzalez show.
Griffey's like,
you know, we got glimpses of some others.
Low-key smiling as he hits every ball, as though it's like the most relaxing thing imaginable for him.
Oh, Juan Gonzalez just won. Yep. Not smiling. Just like, yes, I was built for this.
Literally built for this.
Cycled onto roids. Everything is great.
Dude, that was fun. If you could bring back like anything from that era to baseball, what would it be? Besides steroids, which is probably what they'll need to bring back to save it.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not opposed to steroids in baseball. We've had this conversation. Yeah. I mean, as long as everybody's playing by the same rules.
Oh, exactly, dude.
Man, one thing from that era, I think it would be just the, the uniforms are really good.
They are.
The thing is, I realized about that, those are all, they wore different uniforms for batting practice.
Yeah.
Those are all BB jerseys.
Yeah.
I think I would bring back the uniforms that fit.
Yeah. Yep.
So like they all wore pants that were like snug and looked athletic,
yeah.
even if they were not an athletic build. Like Cecil Fielder wore the same one, and you're like, he got poured into those.
Now they wear pajama
but
pants.
As opposed, yeah, then the, yeah, like Manny Ramirez is the quintessential pajama pants guy where they like wrapped under his heels.
Yeah, I hate that, dude. I hate
but, like Bryce pants. Harper does it and whatever. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, just bring back those and then also the guys who wore high socks and stirrups.
Oh,
stirrups were great because there's like Greg Maddux wore stirrups his whole career and he was so dorky looking and he was perfect.
I love stirrups. I'm pro stirrups. I think I would bring back divergent body types. You mentioned this in the intro.
If you bring back steroids, can you do that though?
I don't know, man. Cecil Fielder was still around and I don't know. I feel like that was not the golden age of divergent body types because there were like the 40s and 50s too, obviously. But like, I feel like in the 60s and 70s, everybody was kind of skinny. Everybody just looked like they smoked a lot of cigarettes, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say cocaine and cigarettes and uppers will do that to
exactly.
you,
though. Everybody's metabolism was like spiking in the 70s.
Haggard, bags under their eyes.
Dude, totally haggard.
Fairly slender.
Like out till 2 in the morning, doing coke, drinking bourbon, you know? And then that kind of like gave way to either steroids or fat dudes in the 90s. And
the late 80s, early 90s was when it started to look kind of like a church softball league where you have like a few guys who are like, you shouldn't be out here. You're not in good enough shape.
Yeah.
But you find out that they can really throw or have really good hands or can really smoke the ball.
Yeah.
And then you have some like a range of athletic bodies.
Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine somebody like Cecil Fielder or Kirby Puckett. In today's game. And Kirby was not a fat dude. He was just he was just built like a fire hydrant.
He was round, but it was all functional.
Yeah.
You know. Dude, heck, Tony Gwynn, same thing.
Oh. Yeah. And what that's the other thing is I would bring back divergent hitting styles.
There you go.
Just to watch the game. Because as much as I understand and appreciate the statistical significance of like homers have the most value, so elevate the ball and whatever, I missed Tony Gwynn and Ichiro and Kirby Puckett and these guys who were just like, no, I'm just hitting the ball in a straight line everywhere and, you know, hacking at everything.
Yep.
So, I heard a stat the other day. I don't know if it's true, but Kirby Puckett has the highest career batting average by a right-hand hitter. I think it was born after World War II.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, which is... I don't know what that means. It just was very interesting to me, and I thought it was cool. But I think I would bring back, uniforms that fit like baseball uniforms and different hitting styles.
Totally, I would bring back baseball in general. Obviously,
At this point, yeah, I don't care. Dude, like, just bring back
here's a question.
Metal bats.
Yeah, here's a question that's like germane to the city that you grew up in. Famous independent minor league team there, St. Paul Saints. Yes. Why are they not just like forming, playing games, and like selling the TV rights? I feel like that kind of thing, because they're not beholden to any like oversight or organization or you know, whatever.
They're beholden to being dragged by the internet for, you know, trying to kill the universe.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Like, call me a cockeyed optimist. I feel like that would blow over. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they've like weighed this out and decided that the drag factor would not outweigh the coolness of just having a baseball product to put on TV. But
I think the other thing is, yeah, I mean, maybe they could make enough money from a TV contract for that. Though, you know, those places those leagues and teams don't tend to be terribly profitable,
right?
And so if they're running on shoestring budgets, it might be tough to pull off.
That's true, definitely. Dude, so how is, speaking of being dragged and, you know, public opinion and all that, like how is like the Korean Baseball League able to put a product on the field at this point? And granted, we don't live there, so we're not hearing about like positive COVID tests among their players. And I'm sure there's the kind of locational dragging that's happening there. But, you know, I see these games on ESPN every week. They seem to be doing pretty well. Like, what's the difference? You know what I mean?
I wonder if it's, I mean, without getting into opinions on how the virus has been responded to.
No, we have
my understanding. Yeah, none. I have zero opinions about anything. This is just a reporting podcast.
That's right.
My understanding is that South Korea did a much more rigorous job very early.
Yeah.
In kind of stopping the spread of the virus and shutting their borders. And so it's been much more diminished and or eliminated in their country.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it without getting into how they did that and whether we would be able to do the same thing, yeah. I think that's it. Like, they're just at a place where there is less obvious risk,
sure,
to hosting those games.
Yeah.
And I was in a restaurant the other day, which is a thing we can do in Nashville that some cities still can't. So sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And they had Korean baseball on, and I was just mesmerized.
I know, dude.
Because I'd forgotten what it was like to just watch like pitching and catching and swinging and running. It was beautiful.
It's pretty
and
great.
I didn't know any of the players, and I couldn't hear it. I was just like, I don't care. It's baseball.
I know it.
It's familiar.
I know it. It just feels like nice to have it on in the background for sure, and nice to go to a restaurant, dude. What a great experience. Things we took for granted.
And honestly, they're okay. So, To put a little lipstick on this pic,
yeah.
The dining experience now is almost nicer.
Yeah, talk about that, dude.
Because everybody's a little bit more subdued.
Yep.
There are only half the tables in every restaurant, either being used or they've just removed them altogether. So you're not sitting, like, you're not bumping elbows with the person behind you,
right,
or like listening to their annoying, you know, first date conversation where he tries to impress her. And everybody's kind of minding their own business and generally keeping away from others, which I like not being annoyed by strangers.
Uh-huh.
So it's just created. You sort of go in, you kind of dine in your own little bubble with the people you came in with, and it doesn't feel oppressive. It just feels like quiet and relaxed, which is really nice.
Dude, I 1000% agree. And in fact, when we get back to full on normal, I'm actually going to miss that a little bit. We'll end with this, Piper. What's the worst first date conversation you've ever eavesdropped on? KK and I have several of these over the years.
I would have to go back and look at Twitter, because usually when it's that bad, I live tweet it.
Nice.
Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I feel like I overheard a discussion. So I saw the people meet, you know, so it's like the awkward hand. He goes in for the hug.
Yeah.
And she kind of gives like the handshake and pseudo stiff arm.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, so nice to meet you, uh-huh, kind of thing. And at some point, they got to talking about ovaries.
Oh, wow.
And I don't remember. You know, I wasn't all the way tuned in, but it was some conversation about that. But it wasn't like they were meeting to study for for like a med
school
class.
Anatomy and physiology
this was,
exam. Yeah.
Yeah. This wasn't that.
That's right.
And yeah, so then it turned ovarian and...
It turned ovarian. You know the date's going well when that happens.
Yeah, and it's either going really, really well or really, really bad. Like
exactly,
it's one of the two.
Oh, so true. So KK and I were at this Indian restaurant in Chattanooga not too long ago, actually. And same deal. We saw the whole, like, greeting, nice to meet you. Clearly, they were dressed for a date. And then the guy starts going in on all of his – everything he can't eat, right? So he's going in on all his food allergies, but like what it does to him physiologically, and he's getting real strong. Like gastrointestinal, and KK and I are just dying. And it had been a long time since I'd seen a first date done that badly, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, has this guy, like, has he never watched television? Like at least you watch TV and movies and you have some semblance of how like a first date is supposed to go. And it never includes like, you know, what happens to your stomach when you eat gluten, you know, but, it was
a
lot.
It's one thing to be like, to give somebody the heads up that you have dietary restrictions, be like, oh, I can't order that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just leave it at that.
Right.
You know,
or just order.
I mean, that
what
might
you
be a
order,
red flag on,
you know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. It was like a point
the
of
number
conversation.
Of, was it a conversation or like a presentation?
Kind of a monologue. Yeah. It was a presentation.
I think the monologue is the recurring theme in bad first dates that I've witnessed. And it goes both ways. This is not, it's not always men. It's not always women. There's just a very clear, like, one person is just there to talk about themselves. And it's like they think they're there to, like, they're trying to raise funds from an investor.
Yeah, exactly.
So they came in with like
a
presentation of all of their benefits and wares.
I got a pitch deck here. Take a look at it. You know, this is my business plan for us going out.
And if you look at page 7, you'll notice that
that's right.
I drive a Nissan Sentra that I have paid off.
That's right. Page 9, you'll notice that my hygiene has improved considerably in the past 4 years. Are you in or are you out?
It's a before and after picture of when I started CrossFit.
Oh, exactly. Dude, the CrossFit guys, it's a mixed blessing because they look good, but you know they're always going to be talking about it. You know, so if you can live with that, I guess.
They look good and then they start talking.
Exactly, and then they never stop. So yeah, mixed blessing on the CrossFit guy. Didn't the CrossFit guy get canceled? Isn't that a non-thing?
He made some racially insensitive comments. I didn't pay that close of attention because I can only take so much. Like, I see CrossFit and I immediately just sort of tap
exactly,
out.
Exactly, dude. That's actually a cancellation
I
can live with.
I think he's, like, resigned as CEO or something.
Okay. Maybe like, all of his followers can now resign as people who talk about their workouts. But, yeah, dude, another great 1993 thing to bring it back around to the home run derby. Like, clearly, these guys are working out a lot and doing a lot of like anabolic drugs, but yeah, they weren't talking about it, man. It was don't ask, don't tell, you know.
Yeah, what would have happened to baseball if they had been talking about it? Be like, yeah, I shot up and then I hit the weight room,
and then I
hit a baseball 500 feet.
I benched 500 pounds and then I crushed some baseballs. Yeah, dude, none of that would have the Renaissance of 1998 with McGuire and Sosa would have never happened. You know, it was a simpler time, Piper, when you could do your drugs in relative privacy.
Those were the days.
Magical. Well, Pipe, we have done what we always do in this program, which is wander to and fro throughout some vintage sports video. One day, one decade from now, we'll hopefully have real sports to talk about again, Pipe. But until then, we'll keep doing those deep dives into some video content that we find. If you haven't done so already, run, don't walk to Amazon.com, little online bookseller, pick up a copy of The Amazing Life of an Awkward Theater Kid, which is my second graphic novel, which Piper's daughter highly recommends, and it made her laugh out loud. So that's all the endorsement I need, Pipe. And until next time, Cecil Fielder.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast.
Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Considered yourself a messenger? Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, or art to make, or perhaps businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. If you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform today or lifeaudio.com.